The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 25. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver, like a gold ring or an ornament of gold, is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow is the time of harvest, is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then they took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You may be seated. One of the curses of growing up and going to Walt Disney World for years, kind of growing up in the parks, and then working for Disney for a time, is that random quotes will get stuck in your head from various Disney movies and songs. I guess it's also a curse when you wake up in a cold sweat because you've seen Mickey with his head off underneath the tunnel underneath Cinderella's castle, but that's another story. So these things, they get stuck in there, and then all of a sudden they reappear, right? Earworms, we call that. And something that you thought you once moved past, but now it's, there it is. So case in point, The Lion King. When Simba's father, Mufasa, who had died, appears as a ghost to his now grown lion son, and the voice of James Earl Jones says, "Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are. Remember, remember." Now, the call of a dead lion to his lion son in an animated movie is nothing significant. But the point in the movie is for Simba to live as he was born to be, live as a king. He is to remember who his father is and for what purpose he has been appointed. He is to remember and live as he is born to be. All right, now that means absolutely not a whole lot of anything when you think of the gravity of what the scriptures are teaching you. But there's something to be said when you see this notion of being admonished to remember or live as you have been called. For you Christians, this is more than just simply a word of encouragement. It's a call to live a new life, even as you have been given a new birth. So God is calling you to see and to live as he has called you to be. And he's calling you to live together as the church, remembering what it means to be the church. So both callings are before you this morning in our epistle reading. This call to be who you are as individual baptized children of God, and the call who you are as the church. And God calls you to remember who you are, and remember who you are together. Now listen again to the words of the short epistle reading again from Ephesians 4. St. Paul wrote, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Now, this epistle reading then picks up where last week's epistle reading ended. St. Paul spoke about how God is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. And it leaves you then with a praise to God for his glory in the church in Christ Jesus. So now then, here today, when the epistle reading begins with, "I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called," that therefore, that conjunction grammatically, is related to what had been previously said. So what does that mean? Well, everything in your life, what you are being urged to live out, is dependent upon who Jesus is and what he has done and continues to do for you. And now God is urging you to walk as he has called you. And the word here in Ephesians 4 for urge is a word that has a meaning of admonishing you. The word has a sense of calling alongside. God is speaking to you as Christians. It's the Greek word parakaleo, to call along. And he's addressing you as people who are redeemed in Christ and his children by grace through faith in him. And he's preaching to you about the good works you do as Christians. And he's calling you to live and teaching you how to do so. Now, Martin Luther preached on this text throughout his life. And one time he made this comment. He said, "The chief and principal point according to which a Christian should regulate his external walk in this world is that he should remember and consider for what purpose he was called and appointed by God. That is, why he is called a Christian. He should then conform to this and let all the world see this, namely that through his life and works, the name and word of God and the Lord Christ are praised. Christ himself admonishes his own, 'Let your light shine before the people so that they may see your good works and praise your heavenly Father.'" Now, Luther's point is helpful then as you listen to this reading this morning and consider your place in life as a Christian and together as the church. Your life, as God has called you, is lived with a greater purpose because you've been called and born anew into God's kingdom. So walking in the new life God has given you is a life walked, clothed with Jesus, living out your baptism. And God calls you daily to remember who you are in Christ. You're called to remember. And remembering your baptism is more than thinking of it on it fondly or looking at your baptismal certificate. So what does this look like? Well, the content of this new life can be seen in several qualities that you should seek to cultivate in your life. And just like you cultivate a garden, you till it, you plant, you take care of the weeds and all that stuff that I hate to do, right? You guys make fun of me all the time, and rightfully so, because I don't like to do that stuff. But in our Christian life, we cultivate these things. What is our new life? We hear God's word, and we seek in our new heart and mind to live it. You live with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Now, this past summer, I preached on the epistle reading a few times, which spoke about our new life in Christ, and there was a lot of overlap even with what we see today. And God was teaching us, all of us, how to love one another in Christ in real concrete ways. To be God's people is to live in humility, to forgive one another, to seek peace with each other. These are real things. It's bearing one another's burdens, living as one body. This is the church. It's who you are as Christians individually and together as God's people. So really, these words today sum this all up when you see what God is teaching you about yourselves and his body. And Jesus is teaching a similar thing in the gospel reading. When he makes that famous statement that he does on more than one occasion in the gospels, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Because you think of the other side of what God is teaching you, what you are called to turn away from, what he's warning you against in all of this, things like pride, anger, harshness, holding grudges, stirring up discord, all of these things make life unpleasant. But not only that, but they seek to undermine everything you have in the waters of your baptism and everything you are as the church. Those vices or sinful hearts and behaviors are not what it means to remember who you are in the waters of your baptism. Living in sin and not loving your neighbor is remembering who you are as a sinner and really leaning into that. And so God teaches you, though, to look at those things which you should strive to live and encourage one another to live in this life together. Humility, gentleness, and with patience you bear one another in love. So humility then, forgiveness and peace, those are only possible in Christ and are more than just sentiments, but it is a way of life. It's a new life brought about by the Holy Spirit. Walking by the Spirit is done in real concrete ways and in love to real people. And so while imperfectly accomplished in this life, the teaching for you as God's people is still for this world and something you do as his people. And you think about that today as you listen to God's word. There's that beautiful image before you, a description of the baptismal life. It addresses you as members of his body. And it's for each of you as you live in this world. It's true and good and what you eagerly seek and live. And just as in those few words, God teaches you so many good works that you can occupy your whole life with as you live out your vocations and in service to your neighbor. Think about how you are a Christian husband or a father or a mother or a daughter or just even a Christian friend. What it means to live in humility, what it means to live in forgiveness, what it means to seek peace with one another. That's what God calls you to do, what he calls you to seek as you have been called by him. And then all of this comes into a head in the final statement. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts, he ends. So God shows you then what defines your identity together as God's people. Because you see, there's something about the church that's unique. It's not just an organization like a community service organization or even just some group. The church is holy. And so in this way, St. Paul shows and he teaches us what the true Christian church is, how we are to recognize it, namely that there's not more than one church, not more than one people of God on earth. No, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so living in the church is to live with one mind together because there's one Spirit, and the Spirit is at work through his word. And God brings about this unity you have as the church and as he's teaching you here, as well as to remember what it means to be called and gathered as his body. So the temptation is to lose sight of this and for us to want to redefine the church in a different way, or even to view the church in a different light than where she is found. But you are to remember what God shows you. So first and foremost, the church is known by where the Spirit is at work to deliver Jesus and his salvation. And this happens through the word and sacraments. So when you view the church, then this is how you should first picture it in your mind and how you should live in your life in the church. Receiving the means of grace is not just primary. It's fundamental. It's necessary. And really, everything else in the church is secondary. It doesn't mean it's not important. But even things like when we consider like Bible studies, Sunday school, and all the other events and things that the church may have, those don't define the church. The church is defined by where God is at work in his means of grace. So all of those other things flow out of this. And so then we are tempted to not redefine the church in ways that God has not done. It's easy for us to think, well, this church has the best Mahjong club, which I have no idea what Mahjong is. It's a game. I did my vicarage on the Gulf Coast of Florida, so let that be that. Or this group has the best potlucks, or the best youth group, or any number of things. Those things are great. But take away those things, and what do you have? Those things can be done, but could those things also be done by a community organization? Could they do them just as better? Well, sometimes maybe yes. That's why remember who you are as the church. Now, the flip side, though, is to refuse to do those things, and that's deadly. That's something to not be tempted against. So don't think the other thing should happen, that what defines us as the church is the means of grace, and then those other things, we shouldn't do them. No, that's not the case. Absolutely, positively not. And especially then on this Sunday, when we think of the LWML, and before they jump me in the parking lot and you find my lifeless body in a ditch covered in purple, right? It's good for those things. We want these things. We need these things as God's people. That's not the point of this reading. But we thank God for all the service in the church, as the saints of God do in many ways. Because here's the thing about faith. It's living. It's active. And just as it wants to live out a life of love individually in our vocations, we want to do this together as the church. It's truly a community too, and we should make efforts and bear the burdens together to gather like we did, even just last weekend. Oktoberfest, golf scramble. It's good for the members of the body of Christ to sit down, to talk, to eat some brats, to shank golf balls into the woods, and drink beer together. We should do those things. And things like that are exhausting, but absolutely a gift to us as God's people. We're living as the church. The sacrifices of God are tremendous. And we do so then out of love for one another. And so what then? Well, as we think about all of this morning, remember who you are. Remember who God has called you to be as his own dear child in those baptismal waters. Remember who you are as individual Christians in the various vocations in the church, in your family, in the world around you. See where you have opportunity to show humility, patience, and bearing one another in love. And see yourself in the church as well. Both of those things go together. Because what? There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So remember and rejoice today for all the wonderful things God has done for you in Christ. He has truly done it. Rejoice in being today the body of Christ. Rejoice for being the church, and for all the wonderful things God has truly blessed us with as we gather around his word and sacraments, and for those times that we gather together as a community, as we actually live as the body of Christ. Laughing, rejoicing, gathering. And all of this is because your Lord Jesus has done it for you. You are his dear saints whom he has redeemed by his blood. You are forgiven. Jesus is the one of whom it is written, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And there you see, you are exalted. or you're exalted in Christ, the one who humbled himself. Remember this exaltation you have. Remember who you are each day. Get up each morning, make the sign of the cross, remember that you're God's own child, and gather together as the baptized people of God. And you know what? Here's the wonderful thing in all of this. This doesn't end. Baptized into Christ, you are his, and he's yours as you live together as his people. And so today we feast, but the day will come when you will be raised from your grave, and the feasting will be forever at the wedding feast of the Lamb who was slain but has been raised. Until then, remember who you are. Walk in this new life God has given to you. Daily repent of your sin and look forward to that day when Jesus looks at you and he says, "Friend, move up higher and go sit where your Lord has prepared for you to be exalted forever, and look next to you and see your fellow members of the body of Christ rejoicing with you." Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.